If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
This is the Steelers Standard on Steelers Nation Radio and podcast on Steelers.com.
We march on to round five in our series of all-time round selections for the Pittsburgh Steelers. We've done round one, round two, round three, round four, and round five. And I got to make a note. This does get harder as we move on to like narrow down a top five that you can really be proud of and be like, yeah, all these guys had an impact. If you're a typical franchise, this still ain't getting that hard, man. Like, yeah, sure. Maybe we're making a little bit of a stretch with some players.
Okay, but guess what?
But, like, we're in the fifth round now.
There's a gold jacket there, too.
There's a gold jacket here, too. There's MVP bids here that fell short. And there's recognizable players for all eras of Steelers fans. So, I mean, again, just... You can't do this with every other franchise in the league. You'd be naming like two guys in the fifth round, and then you'd kind of be like grasping for straws and just looking at who played the most games. So you could just have like a technicality that you can put them in at three or four or five. Like, not with the Steelers, not in round five for them. But before we highlight some of the round five moves that your Pittsburgh Steelers have made, here's some famous round five picks made in NFL history. In 2017, the San Francisco 49ers took a tight end out of Iowa whose name was George Kittle in the fifth round. I think that worked out to be pretty good.
Yes.
Have you ever seen the George Kittle freshman
evolution
year college
from
pick
Iowa
into now?
To yes.
I also think George Kittle has the best like in-game support. What am I looking for here? Like an in-game kind of like. Well, I'll just explain what I'm talking about, and you can see if you can land.
Okay. Okay.
When he gets a first down, I love that they do the glass shatter, Stone Cold Steve Austin theme song. Like his. I don't know if that's like home run music kind
like
of equivalent
PA,
or like
PA, fan,
like
or
the fanfare,
fan support,
the
yeah.
Interactive PA thing. First down, okay. George Kittle. Psh, like that would get me so pumped up. Yeah. And he is a wrestler. Like he literally plays like he is a WWE wrestler.
Right. So. He looks like one too with the long hair.
2016, the Kansas City Chiefs took a wide receiver. He ended up not doing it very much in the NFL though.
Are you being sarcastic?
I'm being incredibly
sarcastic.
Is it
Tyreek Hill?
He's the best receiver in football right now. Yeah, it's Tyreek Hill. Now with the Miami Dolphins, but a fifth-round pick by the Kansas City Chiefs back in 2016.
Do you remember his rookie year was the year the Steelers went to Arrowhead and beat the Chiefs in the...
In the playoffs.
In the playoffs. Before I believe that was the second round.
Before he and Kelce really found their superpowers.
Well, Kelce, I think, was already...
Getting there, yeah.
But... In his rookie year, everyone knew who Tyreek Hill was.
Because of the returns, right? I mean, yeah. His return game was unbelievable.
But also, Mahomes wasn't there to air it out. So he wasn't going nuts as a receiver yet because he was just Alex Smith.
2015, this guy in the headlines a lot this offseason. Wide receiver, Minnesota Viking draft pick, Stephon Diggs.
Oh, Stephon Diggs.
Stephon Diggs, Viking Bill, now a Texan, but great value in the fifth round.
Yeah, for sure. Where did he go to college?
Maryland.
Maryland. I did know that.
2011, a corner was taken that could shut down both Diggs or Hill, or at least give you a good effort if you had him, if you needed him to. Seattle Seahawks.
Cam Chancellor?
Nope.
Oh, there's...
Cam Chancellor was a safety.
Was he?
Richard Sherman out of Stanford. Goes
the Legion of Boom was Cam Chancellor, Richard Sherman...
Earl Thomas,
and one more?
Can't remember the other cornerback. Thanks for exposing us. Sorry. 2008, Matthew Slater from the New England Patriots.
Sure.
But really, he's a special teamer.
Yes.
Kyle Williams, defensive tackle for the Buffalo Bills.
By the way, we were fine. There were only three big names. Sherman, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor, and then Bobby Wags was the guy up front.
Kyle Williams, D-tackle for the Buffalo Bills. I just remember him for the Bills. Like, great player, great defensive tackle. played for 13 seasons with the worst Buffalo Bills teams ever, and then retired after 2018, like either right at that beginning of them making the playoffs or just missing the playoffs in that era of success for the Buffalo Bills. So just a great player in a franchise's history that never really got to witness some team success. Trent Cole, defensive end in 2005, went to the Eagles. Robert Mathis, 2003, defensive end to the Indianapolis Colts. That's a good one. Zach Thomas, great linebacker, Hall of Fame linebacker, going to the Dolphins in 1996. You remember this guy, Joe Horn, wide receiver.
Wide receiver for the Saints.
But he wasn't drafted by the Saints.
Oh!
He was drafted by the Chiefs
But then had his one play that he was known to define his career. Cell phone celebration.
He was a role player in four seasons with the Chiefs. Then he became a star and made four Pro Bowls in five seasons once he went to New Orleans and played for the Saints. Joe Horn was like one of those players where he was at the top of the game at wide receiver. Or not, you know what I mean. He wasn't Moss. He wasn't T.O. But he was a known wide receiver for New Orleans when I was like coming online as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
And like playing fantasy football real. So like I love Joe Horn. Like, Joe Horn was like, I know who this guy is. He's great. Give me Joe Horn.
See, I don't know if I was league-wide knowledgeable at that point when he was coming
up.
But
as much as I am.
But. Okay. But I obviously knew Joe Horn. Like, my knowledge of him was the cell phone.
The cell phone.
But it was so badass.
1994, the Chargers took a safety who had a more successful part of his career elsewhere. Rodney Harrison, now a studio analyst on NBC. We know him more as a Patriot.
Yeah, I mean, we know him as a Patriot.
But he played 15 seasons between the Chargers and the Patriots. Great.
We know him truly as a Patriot. I mean, he won Super Bowls with the Patriots.
1993, Mark Brunell.
Okay.
Green Bay Packers. Brunell really became known more for the Jaguars runs that he had with those early Jacksonville teams. Let's see here. Well, here's a Steeler that shows up on the list.
I'll mention
him now because we're not going to have him in our top five. We can talk about him now. They have Hardy Nickerson here in 1987.
Okay.
Steelers picked him in 1987. He got a jump start, though, when he went to Tampa.
Yeah.
Like, he was an okay player
really
for 6 years in Pittsburgh.
The Steelers, yeah.
And then he went to Tampa Bay, and he made five Pro Bowls. He holds the NFL record in single-season tackles. He had 214 tackles in 1993. Insane. One of the best middle linebackers, for sure, of his era.
He won the Super Bowl on that Tampa Bay team, right?
He
was on that team?
I'll check that for you. I mean, he was drafted in 1987. That's a long way to play to make it to that Super Bowl. I'm just going to say you're wrong. I'm not even going to check that. But he's more of a great Tampa Bay Buccaneer than he is a Pittsburgh Steeler.
You can't even debate it.
I wouldn't even try to debate you. 1985.
You can't even try to. Tom. He didn't. He wasn't on that team, but he played until 2002, so he was still in the league.
I mean, all-time great players play for that long. 1985, you could argue maybe the best third-round pick or fifth-round pick, Herschel Walker, running back, Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, and now he's getting into politics and.
Yeah, we don't need to talk about that.
Yeah.
1985, people know about this guy, Kevin Green. But he was the Rams' fifth-round pick in 1985.
Not the Steelers'
fifth-round pick. And then, of course, had those amazing years with Pittsburgh and then also went on to play for Carolina and San Francisco.
Favorite thing about Kevin Green, not the hair, although love the hair, is if you play on multiple teams, you can pick if you go to the Hall of Fame which ward or which section he wants to be enshrined in. And he was only in Pittsburgh for 3 years. Said it was the best 3 years of my career. And he is enshrined in the Hall of Fame as a Pittsburgh Steeler. Isn't that awesome?
I actually
have a Kevin Green jersey, too.
Nice. That's a good jersey. Number another guy on this list I'm going to skip because he's a Steeler, and we will get to him later. But I'm not going to skip this guy. This guy, everybody's going to know this name. This is going to bring a smile to a lot of people's names. 1959, the Cleveland Browns took a cornerback by the name of Dick LeBeau. In the fifth round of the NFL draft.
He ended up having an okay career
as a player. Okay. An okay coaching career afterwards, too. We can forgive him for being drafted by the Browns.
Well, didn't he? I thought he did pretty well as a player, no?
I was meaning that he did amazing as a player. He has like one of the most interceptions of all time. He's on like the all time interceptions list. He's a great player. He's a Hall of Famer as a player. He is a Hall of Famer as a player. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I don't even have to say think. Trust yourself, Tom. Come on. All right, let's get to the Steelers and their all-time top five draft picks. The first fifth-round draft pick ever made in franchise history was a fullback in 1936 by the name of Dick Sandifer. And from that point on, when they took Dick out of Purdue, the rest has been history when it comes to the fifth round.
And they took what out of Purdue?
Not going to say that again, you bastard. All right, John Wozniak. John Wozniak made a Pro Bowl. He was drafted in 1948 by the Steelers, but he made his Pro Bowl with a team named the Dallas Texans back then, so he can get the hell out of here. Anybody else have good success, Pro Bowl success? How about Abner Haynes back in 1960 out of North Texas? A two-time All-Pro and a Pro Bowler. Didn't play a down for the Pittsburgh Steelers, though. Was drafted by them, didn't play a down for them. So, Abner, you're dead to me. Pretty good career, though, for Abner. Great name, too, back in 1960. That's like the Mike, right, back in 1960, like or the Jim.
Just Abner. You were meeting Abners left
all the
and
time.
Right?
Like, all the time. Everybody had an Uncle Abner, you know what I mean? Like,
I don't think so.
You don't? Okay. Well, there's a guy that might make my list from 1971. There's a guy in 1974 that definitely will make my list. We'll bookmark those two guys and get back to them later. Oh, who's this guy in 1980 out of Syracuse? Okay, we'll get to him later, too. We mentioned Hardy Nickerson, too, the 1987 first-round pick. Would have loved to see if he could have exploded in Pittsburgh, right? Like, if he could have just found that form in Pittsburgh. Could have been another in a long line of just great linebackers. In this franchise's history, but you got to give him credit for at least identifying that he had that potential, even if he didn't realize that potential right away. Let's skip ahead over some guys now. Lee Flowers played for 5 years. Who cares about Lee Flowers? Sorry, Lee. Verron Haynes in 2002, ultimate third down running back. Brian St. Pierre, how about that?
Backup quarterback.
Back in 2003. I used to love playing with St. Pierre and Madden.
You know what I would do? I mean, he would always be the guy that was holding the kicks.
Yeah, oh yeah.
The field goals, yeah.
Cliff Stout, another quarterback, 1977. Forgot to mention him. Steelers took him in 1977. Let's see, we're at St. Pierre.
We got some slim pickings
2008,
now.
2008, Dennis Dixon, another quarterback.
Okay, didn't he win that game against Baltimore at home one year?
I believe he did win one game for the Steelers. Stevenson Sylvester. Bust.
I mean, I remember that name, but not a lot of.
I don't remember this name. The other 2010 fourth, fifth round pick.
Great name, but don't remember it at all.
It's like I'm naming my children. John, Paul, Bill, get in here. First, fourth, third, fourth. What round are we in? Creston Butler.
Great name, Creston.
Out of Clemson. I don't remember
him. But don't remember. I mean, I don't remember him or Chris Scott or Chris Carter or.
I remember Chris Rainey. I remember Chris Rainey.
Don't remember Terry Hawthorne.
I remember Wesley Johnson.
Don't remember Shaq Richardson. Shaq. Remember Jesse James.
I wish I could forget about Jesse James.
No, I mean, he was good.
I wish I could forget about Jesse James. I wish I could go back in time and just never take Jesse James. Get a tight end that doesn't drop the football.
He didn't drop the football.
He dropped the football. Just finished the play, and we don't even have to debate this.
All right.
Jalen Samuels in 2018, Marcus Allen.
So yesterday when we were talking, when we were doing our third round episode, best third time picks, I mistooketh Marcus Allen for Justin Lane. Marcus Allen was the thorn in the side that would always yap and chirp and would get penalized, and he would do it so often, and I don't know why there weren't penalties internally to get him to stop. He was also the big locker room aggressor, didn't really keep things formal and professional there. So bye-bye Marcus Allen.
Zach Gentry, 2019, still active. Isaiah Loudermilk, 2021, still active. The only two guys that are still active right now, though, for the Steelers or for the NFL in general.
Those are also the last two fifth-round picks. So the Steelers didn't have any in 2020, any in 2022, or any in 2023.
Jeez. Who needs the fifth round, really?
Well, a friend of mine from 1974 would like to clap back.
And that's where we start with the Hall of Famer in 1974's draft class, picked in the fifth round. It is Mike Webster, Webby. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what else could you say about the guy? I mean, he's one of the all-time best centers ever.
Yep.
The best center in Steelers history, and that's a long list when it comes to centers in Steelers history. Played forever. Played not from 1975 until 1980.
So until Ben Roethlisberger retired, Mike Webster was the longest tenured Steeler ever.
He played center.
Right.
I mean, and yeah, took more hits. He took a lot, and that hurt his health later in his life. And rest in peace, of course. But he played center for that long and at that much of a level.
I mean,
that's like Jason Kelce playing like 5 more years. Like,
right.
Just an incredible player.
I mean, we know that.
In the Steelers now, we can establish this. They have had a Hall of Famer in rounds 1 through 5 in their history.
And
at
we know.
At least one.
We also know. The other two great centers in Steelers history, Demarne Dawson and Marquise Pouncey, barely played a decade, if not a little bit more than that. Just a little bit more. Compared to Webby, who was 18 years, you said?
18 years, yeah.
Insane.
Just to get a little bit ahead of myself, too, here. So the Steelers, like I said, they have at least one Hall of Famer in rounds 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. They don't have them in 6 or 7. They should have one in 6, though. Right? Yeah. Like, they should eventually.
Is he going?
They should
eventually. Is he going?
Right. But, like, they technically should have 1 and 6. They don't have 1 and 7. There's not really anyone right now that is knocking on the door at 7. But, like, they should realistically, forget should, they do realistically have the ability to boast. We have picked a Hall of Famer in rounds 1 through 6 in the NFL draft. It's incredible.
I don't know if he gets in.
Right. But you know what I mean. He is a Hall of Famer.
Yeah.
Like, even if he doesn't get in, like, pretend he's Larry Fitzgerald and retires early or whatever and doesn't make a peep. Those numbers, they in the Hall of Fame first ballot. Like,
yeah. Well,
so he's a Hall of Fame player, but maybe he's not a Hall of Fame person.
Because I can't even say separate off the field from on the field, because on the field, he's still.
It would be great if we just
caused problems.
Him as a player. And we're like, as a person, no.
But as a player, he still caused problems.
Yeah, but a lot of those problems are for the other team, the other defensive back.
Sure. But
I just want his.
You know, what I'm trying to say is, like, on the field, off the field. On the field, he took off his jersey in pads, and
that was for the Bucks. Who cares?
Doesn't matter. He did it.
Yeah, we are talking about the Hall of Fame, not the Hall of Honor. I did see him tweet.
You don't think he gets in the Hall of Honor, do you?
He's not getting the Hall of Honor. First of all, I've seen his Twitter account 100% run by somebody else because it's just too smart sometimes to be him. and honestly,
it's too clever.
It's very crude and over the line a lot of the times. But some of the times it is kind of funny.
Yeah.
It's just not him. There's just no way. He's
not
keeping
up
with pop
stuff.
Culture right. as much as the account is. Right. You can tell sometimes when it is AB tweeting
that. Oh, yeah, for sure.
One of the tweets that the account recently put out, though, was AB Hall of Honor class, and he edited himself next to, like, Moon Mullins and, like, the Aaron Smith.
Oh, really?
And the picture that he chose was the jumping on the goalpost against the Colts when he returned that punt. He really is one of a kind. That doesn't always necessarily mean a positive when you say that to somebody.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.
All right, so we got Webby at number 1. Number 2, I put Barry Foster.
That's fair. We just talked about this off the air. At the time of his retirement, you could say he was the second best running back in franchise history.
Just unfortunate that his career cut short, only played the 5 seasons, but was a first-team All-Pro in 1992, was second Offensive Player of the Year in 1992, was second in MVP in 1992. You know who he lost to?
1992?
Yep. He lost out to this guy in both the Offensive Player of the Year and the MVP.
Is it Brett Favre?
Steve Young.
Oh.
He beat out Emmitt Smith. He got more votes than Emmitt Smith in both of
during
those
Emmitt's peak with the Cowboys, too.
Barry Foster was awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So the only other...
He had 1690. That was his rush total that year. 1,690.
So Franco was obviously number one. John Henry Johnson, I'm sure people like Labs can make the argument for, but he's listed as a fullback.
Oh, a little technicality. Franco was listed as a fullback sometimes too, though, but he did play halfback too.
Like and
he
was Rocky and was and back the and forth. True fullback of that team.
They
right?
were kind of both fullbacks.
Yeah, I guess.
They both had their hand in the dirt.
I'd be interested to hear Labs' take on that. Between John Henry Johnson, like, do you consider John Henry Johnson a true enough running back to put him in there? Because
we're Rocky.
Yeah, good point.
We're Rocky.
But I mean, John Henry Johnson's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah,
I would
Hall
love,
Famer.
I would, Rocky's a Hall of Honor member. Yeah, but
I mean, so just me personally, I mean, Franco's number one.
Are we going all time or are we going up until
all
the
time.
90s?
Sure, we can go all time. I mean, but I'm just going to do my own personal biases. Like, Franco's number one. But, like,
Jerome's number two. Stop it.
Yeah, I guess Jerome's number two. Then Lev's number three. And then it's probably
Rocky,
Barry,
number four.
Probably Barry. I think Barry. I mean, Foster was second in the MVP voting one year.
But
it's Rocky one year.
Five.
It's 1 year.
You got six. You got six. You got.
And then JHJ's
got
to be in there.
You got Franco. You got Jerome. You got Lev. You got Barry. You got Rocky. And you got JHJ.
And then you got that next, like, wave, like. Fast Willie, like he's
sure
not an all pro, but he's got to be remembered.
Is
I mean,
Najee not encroaching?
Not yet, but three straight years with 1,000 yards is a good start.
I mean, how about, I mean, you could say he's top 10 running back in franchise history, Najee Harris.
Maybe we can, but let's not.
Okay.
All right, Barry Foster, number two. Number three, I mean, you know, you get a little stretchy here. You know, someone listening to this in, like, I don't know, North Dakota is going to be like, I don't really even remember who this guy is. Pittsburgh will, though. I got Big Play Willie Gay coming in at number
three. Yeah.
Drafted in 2007 in the fifth round by the Steelers. Played for the Steelers 2007, 8, 9, 10, 11. Went to Arizona for a year. Then came back to the Steelers in 2013 and played the rest of his career here in Pittsburgh. So weird little blip on his radar. So close to being a career Steeler. I bet you he might regret that, right? Not to say that he didn't get paid by Arizona and he came back to Pittsburgh and he won a Super Bowl in Pittsburgh and blah, 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 blah. Great. He had a great career for him. But don't you think, you know, maybe a little bit of truthism, he'd be like, I'd like to look at my Pro Football Reference page and see that pit all the way down the line. Maybe that's just my brain. Maybe that's just how I work. But, like, when I see those players that have that same team from start to finish, it's just something extra special about it. Like, go on Sid's Hockey Reference page right now. It's just 20 rows that say Pitt, one after the other. Ben Roethlisberger with the Steelers. 17 rows, Pitt, one after the other. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
like,
I
it gives you a little extra. Like, with Brady, greatest quarterback ever, but I still got to look at those two TBs at the bottom of his list after all the NWEs. I'm just a jerk. I have ADHD, whatever. It's my own dumb brain here. But save me, Jacob. Start talking, please.
Well, Willie Gay, what you have to mention is, I believe he's this franchise leader in interceptions returned for a touchdown.
God, that's why you call him Big Play, baby.
And I believe, I have no idea, so I'm not going to stand on a hill and say I'm 100% correct when I say this, but I think that he had like four turnovers in a row that all went for touchdowns, which is some kind of crazy record also.
He had three pick sixes in 2014. Three. That's insane to have that many pick sixes. That's like Deion Sanders level of a return ability. He had a total of five pick sixes in his career. Great player for where you drafted him. Like, I feel comfortable saying that for sure.
So I'm seeing this, Tom. He had one interception in all of 2013. That was returned for a touchdown. He had three interceptions in all of 2014.
All of them picked.
All of them went for touchdowns. He had two picks in 2015.
One of them went to
the one house. Of which went for
so
a touchdown.
He got a touchdown. That's why he got a Big Play Willie Gay nickname. Every
so
time he touches the ball, he's in the end zone.
I don't know if those five came all in consecutive order, but to have five pick sixes in 3 years is insane.
And my favorite of all the pick sixes was the one in 2015 when
he with the longest. So that does, I don't know what kind of official stats there are.
On a Joey
That's
Porter.
That's going to be some kind of record of longest touchdown celebration ever.
Senior was just such a clown.
Oh, my God. Having senior there for that.
I remember, too, like, when you watch that touchdown celebration, there's, like, four different moments where Gay's, like, ready to stop and starts jogging.
And
it.
somebody else comes in
and starts dancing with him.
A.B. went out
like,
there at one point. I think A.B. was one of the first people out there.
Oh, I love being the Bengals so much. God, these teams hate us. Like, they have to.
They have
hate us.
Good reason to hate us, too.
All right.
We rub it in their faces when we win.
Another guy that you kind of mentioned a little bit early, jumped the gun on him in the last episode.
Clark Hagans.
I have Clark Hagans coming in with my number four, number five. I did like a Chewbacca thing there with my voice. Four. I couldn't even do that again if I tried to. But yeah, Clark Hagans, just a really solid player for the Steelers. Again, kind of in that same boat as Willie Gay, although I'd say since I had him higher on my list, Willie Gay had a little bit more of an impact. But, you know, again, Hagans, just for a guy you picked in the fifth round to get that kind of depth production out of him and then have him start in 2004, 5, 6, and 7 for you, there's not much more you can ask when you're drafting at that point. So Clark Hagans was an absolute stunning pick by the Steelers.
Yes. I mean, like we said, a great member with, if you want to overlap that era of 2000s linebackers with Larry Foote, James Ferrier, Clark Hagans, Joey Porter, James Harrison, Lamar Woodley, I mean, I don't think it gets better than that.
And then number five, I didn't know anyone else that deserved this spot more. And I guess we should say before we name number five, I have to talk about Larry Brown a little bit because he is a fifth-round pick. Did make a Pro Bowl. He won four Super Bowls. And, of course, there's that famous fact about him switching from tight end to tackle when the team was so depleted of injury and they needed help at the tackle spot. He played tight end from 1971 to 1976, and then from 1977 to 1984, he played tackle for the Steelers. I mean, Hall of Honor member.
Sure.
Just a total, total beast for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And sure, he's probably really the number five pick, but I just got so much love for this guy, I couldn't help myself. I got Craig Wolfley coming in at number five. Wolf.
Hell yeah.
The 1980 fifth round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers out of Syracuse. Played all the way up until 1991, of course, with 2 years at the end with the Minnesota Vikings, but known for his time as a Pittsburgh Steeler. When healthy, a starter every year since his second year, and up until 1989 when he was starting to exit Pittsburgh, and he was 31 years old. But, man, Wolf at that left guard spot, really, really solid member of that 1980 Pittsburgh Steelers decade.
Definitely. Just
do and think, do you think he ever, you know, we'll get to Tunchin tomorrow.
Next episode.
Next time we do the
episode. Next episode,
Sixth
round.
But you never think he ever said it?
I think you have to.
Tunch
because
got the Pro Bowls, but do you ever think Wolf was like, I got drafted in front of you, though?
Are you talking about Hall of Honor?
No. I'm saying, like, well, Wolf, I think we'll get into. But yeah. I was just talking about, you know, the old buddy, how you rib your buddy. Like, because Tunch could always be like, oh, I made the Pro Bowl. But, like, do you think Wolf was ever like, well, you were a sixth-round pick?
What do you mean? What do you mean?
Oh, you've heard it on the air.
You heard it, too. Every day, they would joke about that. Because Tunch would say, oh, you always claim you were Syracuse graduate, you never graduated, and Wolf would punch back by saying, yeah, but at least I got drafted earlier than you did.
So shout out to Wolf, the Wolfleys. Fourth round pick with Ron, fifth round pick with Craig. Great value when you pick a Wolfley in those middle rounds of the NFL.
There's that great pick, I don't know if you've seen it, when they were all in college at separate schools. Dale, Ron, and Chris. I could send it to you.
Well,
it's
no, I think
awesome
it's,
picture.
No, I think it's I think the picture you're thinking of is Dale.
Are they in
Dale
the NFL
is in
already?
West Virginia, and it's
and the other
and
two
Ron
are,
has his Cardinals jersey on, and Wolf has his Steelers jersey on, and Dale's his West Virginia jersey on. That's
let me check because I have it saved somewhere on my phone.
That,
yes,
I know
you
for
are right,
a fact that's
but
it.
But it's taken at
West Virginia Stadium because they went for Dale.
Dale's in the middle, Ron's on the left, Wolf's on the it's. I'll send it to you right now. It's an awesome
I've seen
photo.
It. I was the one that corrected you.
I'm texting it to you right now.
All right, when we come back, we're going to continue our series. We got so many series that we're continuing on this show. We give you so much great content here. We're going to continue ranking the best position group or the best players in each position group currently in the NFL. We're at inside linebackers today. There's going to be a Pittsburgh Steeler in there
for the first time
in almost a decade. I'm excited for it. So we got our power rankings next on Steeler Standard.
If everyone has lemonade stands, I think we can do it. These inspiring words were expressed by Alex Scott, the little girl who was battling childhood cancer and decided to have a lemonade stand in her own backyard to help fundraise for a cure. In honor of Alex and everyone fighting this disease, join S&T Bank June 1st through the 8th at all bank branches for Lemonade Days. Enjoy treats and activities. Help us support research, awareness, and hope for these children and families in need. Let's make people our purpose and build a brighter future together. S&T Bank, member FDIC.